Thank you for that. The gift is ours, not by our works, but by God's grace. What a tremendous truth in song we just heard. Turn, if you would, this morning to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, we'll read several verses here from a portion of this chapter that is divided into three parts, each part dealing with something that was lost, a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. We're going to read a portion of the part of this chapter that deals with the lost son. Luke chapter 15, we'll be reading this morning verses 11 through 17. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 17. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And when he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. What a reversal of fortune this story gives to us. We have here a man, once wealthy, now living among the swine. It's like the ancient legend of a magician who had the ability to transform men into swine. But this story is no magician at work in our text. The Bible text is not referring to some magician at work, per se. Rather, this text is referring to the secretive purpose of Satan himself for every man, old or young. But to accomplish this task of lowering the manhood of this promising youth to the level of a brute, he first had to deceive this young man. And let us not say that we were not warned about the fact that this is what the devil has done, is doing, and will continue to do. God's word says clearly in Revelation 12:9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. That is who he is, and that is what he does. He deceives. We happen to have one example in the Bible of a young son, younger son, that was deceived and ended up in the pig pen. It's one thing to read about the legendary story about people being transformed into swine. It's a whole lot more serious to speak of people where that happens to in real life. So deceived by the world and its false promises of peace and happiness. Let's look again at verse 13. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living, fully deceived at this point that what he was doing was going to bring him happiness. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land and began to be in want, but still deceived that he had real friends that would be around him to help him through this time. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, maybe still hoping for some dignity. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And now the degradation of this man is fully complete. The eyes of deceit have fallen off. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave to him. There's the end of the devil's work in the life of people that will allow themselves to be deceived by him. No man gave to him. How different from God the Father, who gave his only begotten Son for us. God is giving. He is a giver. He's the giver of all that is good. He's the giver of eternal life. When the devil's true work is done, those that were deceived by him realize in the end, there's no one to have anything to give because the devil doesn't have anything good to give in the end. He can just make a really nice facade. He can make a old Western set for the black and white movies, but there's really nothing behind it to really hold it up. Verse 17, finally, his saving grace. And when he came to himself, he said, and what he says is he says the truth. When he finally came to himself, he says the truth. How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare and I perish with hunger? So he says the truth. He realizes that in his father's house, in his father's house, there is more than enough. There is always more than enough in the Father's house. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time here this Father's Day. And now as we look, Lord, at this portion of Scripture that portrays you as the Father that has more than enough for any soul that would come to you empty-handed, but open and willing, Lord, and requesting and praying to be received by you. May we take this truth and understand that that soul, maybe a soul in here today, will be greeted by your mercy and your love and your forgiveness. Lord, may we never forget there's always more than enough in your house. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Unlike so many stories of broken lives that we hear about in the news, this story in the Bible has a good ending. And this is how the good ending came about. It changed for this young man who was working among the pigs when he allowed two thoughts to come into his mind. And these same two thoughts can change someone's life from being fully deceived by the devil and having an eternal destiny of destruction and separation from God. If we'll allow these two truths from the Scripture into our lives can change everything about our present as well as our eternal future. The two thoughts are this, and they come from verse 17. There's more than enough in my father's house. I mean, there's enough even for the servants, he realized. The servants are the lowest, and even the lowest in his father's house had more than they needed, had more than enough. But secondly, the thought that came into his mind, which was the reality of the situation, was this. I'm starving out here away from his house. I'm starving. I am perishing with hunger. And yet in my father's house, even the servants have more than they need. Why am I here? Why should I continue to starve? And so these two thoughts, these two truths, when this man let them into his mind and into his life, finally made obvious to him, changed everything. Verse 17, and when he came to himself, frankly, we don't know how long that took. Might have been a little while. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? There's leftovers for the servants. What of the sons? What of the daughters? What of those of the immediate family? If there's plenty and more for the servants, and I perish with hunger. Today, in God's house, in with God, in heaven, there is more than enough for any lost sinner. Today, also, without him, you will perish. It reminds us of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, servant or son, believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God is not willing that any should perish. But this young man looks around and says, I'm perishing with hunger, and there's more than enough in my father's house. Notice verse 18. He makes a decision. I will arise and go to my father. I'm going to go to that place of plenty. I'm going to leave this spiritual hunger and destitution and desert that I admittedly put myself in, and I'm going to go to the house of plenty. Plenty of what? Plenty of what is found in the Father's house? Plenty of mercy. Psalm 103:8 says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy." There's plenty of mercy in that house. That doesn't just mean there's a lot. That means there's more than enough for anyone that would ever come there and ask for it and seek it in God's way. There's plenty of mercy. It's a buffet of mercy and not a bad buffet, right? You've been to bad buffets. Some are like, "I would never eat at a buffet." Well, join us underlings for a minute while we talk a little bit about our buffet experience. So right just down the road east, about 8 miles, just off the highway, there was a big buffet that came in a number of years ago. And boy, it was the hot spot for a while, right? Started with an R. Man, it was a great place. Every boy's dream. Can we go to the Michigan City buffet? When it first started, it was tip top, right? I mean, as far as buffets go, it was up there. In time, when you got to tilt over and grab the metal spoon and try to scrape the bottom of the Gordon Food Service macaroni salad, and you're like, this is really humbling. And I shouldn't be doing this, but there's 3 macaroni down in there. If I scrape deep enough, I'll have them on my plate. And you go over to put your salad dressing on, and it's become a combination of Italian, French, and ranch. Because no one's really watching it. And you're thinking to yourself, "I don't think this buffet is going to last very long. It was really good for a while, but not so hot anymore. It's not really a very good buffet." Bible says that the Lord is plenteous in mercy. It is a nonstop buffet of mercy. You go back, it's still full. He reaches in for more mercy, and you come back, and it's there again. It's so much so that even for those that are the children of God, every single day we have a whole new container full of mercies. They're brand new every single morning. I'm glad for that. I'm glad that every day I can go back in and there's more mercy for that day. Because frankly, day by day in this world, we need mercy. We need that. The Bible says the Lord is merciful and gracious, plenteous in mercy. What's so great about the Father's house is that He is there. And when he's there in all of his magnificent attributes, one of which is the fact that he is merciful. Ephesians 2:4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us." Not only is this house of the Father great because God's there in his mercy, he's also there in his love. Isn't it something special to travel out of town to a place, to a home, and when you get into that home, you can tell and you know that is a home that's filled with love. That's a great thing to do. Maybe you remember a house like that when you were young and you would travel. Maybe it was a special relative's house, maybe a grandparent's house, maybe an aunt or uncle's house. And you knew when you went in there, this is going to be a place where people love each other. That is the defining mark of the Father's house. God is love. We go to his house and we find love. He is merciful and he's plenteous in that mercy. He's gracious. He is love. He's a God willing to forgive, and not only willing to forgive, but he has the power to forgive all of our sins. All of our sins. He is all powerful. He is omnipotent. 2 Corinthians 6:18 says, I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Only an almighty God can take someone who comes to him and adopt them and bring them into his family. God uses his trait of being almighty to prove the fact that he will receive us who come to him by faith as his sons and daughters. I'm grateful and I'm very thankful on this Father's Day that no matter what the situation is, good or bad, with our earthly fathers, we have a Father's house that we can go to that is plenteous in mercy, plenteous in love, and plenteous in the power to forgive us from our sins. God Almighty allows us to peer into his heart and to see and understand the answer to this question. How can a sinner be saved? How can a sinner be saved? God allows us to look into his heart, his mind, his workings. And when we look for that answer, we're taken immediately to Calvary. We're taken to the cross, where God's well-beloved, only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who was the center of his love, and yet, Galatians 4:4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. To redeem means to pay a price. And God sent his Son, the center of his love, to pay a price. And the price that was paid was a price for our redemption. The price that was paid cost Jesus Christ his very life. God did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, or in our place. So in the Father's house, there's plenteous mercy. There's forgiveness, but it's there because God the Father saw you and I. And somehow, while we were yet sinners, loved us and sent his only begotten perfect Son to come and die on the cross in our place. In the Father's house, there is more than enough. What else could the Lord, could God have done to show his love for us? More could he have done than to send his Son as a sacrifice in our place? He didn't spare his Son so that you and I could be spared. That's what he did. Not just spared and said, okay, now you owe me. I spared you. Now you owe me. Go sweep the floor. He didn't just spare us to make us a servant. Remember, plenteous mercy? He spared us and then also made us his sons and daughters. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. There is more than enough in the Father's house. Verse 18 is the best decision this man ever made. Look at verse 18. I will arise and go to my Father. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to leave this pig pen that I found myself in. I actually don't have anything left to take back to offer as a trade off for him allowing me back in my house. I've actually got to come empty handed. I have nothing good to bring back to him. I wonder if he'll take me. When we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the song says we come just as we are. Being plenteous in mercy, God's not looking to see, now what are you bringing to the table here? What kind of deal are we going to make out here? So you want back in, you want to be my son, you want to heaven. What are you bringing? Let me see some good works. Let me see some of the stuff. How are you gonna help me? Now, I'm afraid we all come the same way. We come with nothing. We come with nothing. Why would God receive us when we bring nothing? Why? I think that we will be asking ourselves and singing the praise of that question for all of eternity. Why? I don't know that we can totally answer it. We can say who God is and what he's done, but still, why? We can answer it this way, though. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. I don't deserve this. Have you got something you didn't deserve before? I've got something I didn't deserve before. We were walking out of a store not long ago, my wife and I, and one of the rare times we made a fairly big purchase, someone was walking out right in, just before us, and they said, "Do you have the coupon?" We're like, "We don't have the coupon. Tell me about the coupon." She handed us the coupon. Coupon was 30% off any order. We're like, "Thank you, ma'am, for the coupon." We took it out of our hands, and just before he finished ringing everything up, we had this coupon. By the time it was all done, long story short, we saved $100. I was looking for that lady. She was out in her car, and we were like, "We got to go." I didn't realize that it was that valuable. I got to go find her. We got to do something. We got to take her to Dunkin' Donuts or something. Not to Ryan's. Oop, said the word. That pure gift, free. This young man came empty-handed. You know, he didn't come with his wine and with his women. Some people want to come back to the Father and say, "Yeah, but I just so I'm going to bring a couple things along with me. I'm going to bring some of these sins along with me, if you don't mind, because I kind of like them still." Smart young man. No, that's not how you come to the Father. Come to the Father saying, "I am sick of this sin. This is the sin that put Jesus Christ on the cross. I come with nothing. Not only not my good works, no, not that, but also not still bring along the sin." God's holy. God is a holy God. No, no wine and no women came along. He came in empty-handed. He didn't come bargaining. But his empty hands and his empty stomach wasn't empty for long. I'm almost done. His empty hands and his empty stomach wasn't empty for long, was it? Just before he could get to the Father, what did the Father start doing? Ordering the buffet, right? Ordering the caterers. Get busy, guys. The cow's out there saying, "Oh, man. Oh, well, it's been nice." And, man, that food got put on. Those clothes got put on. Why? How could that happen? Because there's always more than enough in the Father's house. That's how it can happen. Verse 20, "And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Put forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand. Put shoes on his feet and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." God has mercy enough to save the Goliaths of sinners. He also has mercy enough to save the self-righteous who thinks God's getting something when he gets me, or maybe by this righteous life that is superior to everyone else, I can earn my way into God's favor. God can save both. Both come to him empty-handed. He will receive them because there's more than enough mercy for the worst of sinners and for the most arrogant of sinners as well. Come to God empty-handed. You will be filled. He has the power to forgive you of your sins. There's more than enough forgiveness with God. There's more than enough mercy to spare. There is real love with him as opposed to the devil's deceiving love today. Every needy soul in this room today, I'll ask you now to believe on Jesus Christ. His house is bursting with joy and peace that cannot be found anywhere else. Trust Christ now, you'll be forgiven now. There's no delay, and there's no need to delay. You can rejoice with others who have found peace with God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. Come to the merciful Father today. There is more than enough room for you in the Father's house. Heavenly Father,